Worcester Culture Watch, a podcast connecting you with the local culture scene in Worcester. Arts, entertainment, music, and more.
Worcester Culture Watch from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Hello, I'm Craig S. Seaman, and welcome to Worcester Culture Watch. We have some very special guests in the studio tonight that need no introduction, but I'm going to introduce them anyways. Our first guest is an aspiring writer and recovering alcoholic who will soon be taking a job at the off-season as the off-season caretaker of the Overlook Hotel. He's married to Olive Oil, and the couple have a young son, Danny, who has an imaginary friend, Tony, a fancy for bigger wheels, and dismembered twin sisters for playmates. Let's welcome to Worcester Culture Watch, Jack Torrance.
Thanks, Craig. You know, I was really excited to be moving to town to take care of the Worcester City Motel. And when I saw they tore it down in the ground round, I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Thank you, Jack. And also in the studio tonight is a school teacher who awoke from a five-year-long coma only to find that he had psychic powers. And his girlfriend was also Donald Sutherland's girlfriend in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the studio Johnny Smith.
Thanks, Craig. You know, this is easy for you, but for me, I was on my way home. I got thrown into a hole for 7 years. My legs barely work. And here I am on your show, very pleased, very pleased.
It was actually five, but who's counting?
Five years, 7 years, who's counting?
It took you two additional years to talk about it.
I lost some numbers.
Also, we have, he investigated a set of grisly murders inspired by the Seven Deadly Sins, which ended with Pepper Potts' head in a box. Retired Detective William Somerset.
That's right, California. Don't look in the box. And if seven had been about the town of Worcester, it probably would mostly have been gluttony from the look around here.
Also, he's the head of Manhattan's law firm and Beelzebub himself, John Milton.
Oh, that's right, Craig. You know what they say around here? Look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Taste, but don't swallow. Hooah.
Hooah. And our final guest, you know him, you love him. He's a survivor of the global pandemic who struggles to maintain his sanity by patrolling the new desolate streets of the city of Worcester, hunting and killing members of the family, a cult of plagued victims who were turned into nocturnal albino mutants. I give to you U.S. Army Colonel Robert Neville.
That is very well done, Craig. However, most people probably remember me as Moses, or perhaps Colonel Taylor from Planet of the Apes.
Either way, I want to thank you for your service.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing how you can bring the dead to life here at the Telegram.
Now, Worcester, of course, we're just having a little fun with you on the program today. In actuality, we only have one very special guest in the studio today.
It's Tom Hanks! Tom Hanks is here!
No, it's not.
It's Forrest Gump himself. I'm still mad at Tom because I think the best movie he ever made was Bachelor Party, and the sequel to that, Philadelphia, doesn't cut it. But that's me.
I didn't realize those two were related. Wow. Bachelor Party and Philadelphia.
I saw it as a double feature. But obviously we have in the studio, Worcester's man of a thousand voices and pop culture maven. He's smart, he's funny, he's cool, he's good looking. You wish you were him. He's the co-creator of Rock and Shock, which is happening this Friday through Sunday at the DCU Center and the Palladium in Worcester. He is, of course, the one and only Kevin Barbary. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
And we're here to talk about this year's Rock and Shock, as I said, starting Friday and running through Sunday. Sunday at the DCU Center and the Palladium.
Yes.
First off, and I will let you talk.
Sure.
I am so excited about you having two of the Twin Peaks bad boys, Dana Ashbrook and James Marshall, a.k.a. Bobby Briggs, and James Hurley, respectively, at the Rockin' Shark this year.
Yes. This is not the first Twin Peaks guest we've had over the years, but definitely, I think, with the recent resurgence of the show on Showtime being super popular and plenty of nominations, this is the first time we've had the guests on from the show since it became a thing again with the next generation who watch it and the people who loved it before who started watching the new one. So this is a big deal for us. I mean, you know, in the past we've had Michael Anderson, the man, the little man.
From,
yes, the dancing dwarf man. And we also had a couple other people who were on the show, but they weren't regulars. But, yeah, this is definitely the biggest main cast.
I didn't realize you had the man from another place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe the same year we had Michael Rooker for the first time was the year we had.
Oh, so this must have been one of your early years.
Yeah, it was like 2006, 2007.
Okay, I might have said no, too scary for me back then. And also, yeah. Derek Mears.
Yep.
Who was also on the bill and is best known for Jason Voorhees. Did I say that right?
Jason Voorhees, yeah.
And Friday the 13th was also played Renzo, who came out on the losing end of a lethal arm wrestling match with Mr. C, Kyle MacLachlan, on Twin Peaks The Return.
Yes, he did.
And he's, as you will attest, the nicest guy on the planet.
Very nice. He has also not seen the Red Room, which we're going to have set up. This company called Now for Your Feature Presentation. They build sets and take them to the different conventions. I saw them with this Red Room, as you did, Craig, at the Comic-Con in Rhode Island a couple years ago. And I'm like, oh, we got to get this to Rocket Shot. This is made for us, and get some guests in there. And so we'll be doing photo ops with Dana and James, and if Derek wants to, plenty of room. We have the whole Red Room set recreated from Twin Peaks, and you can take pictures in it. It's pretty cool.
And Kevin's not talking trash. The Red Room feature presentations, the lovely woman Sadie and her significant other there.
Brandon,
it is incredible. I immediately fell in love with, and this you got to realize, Rhode Island Comic Con, the biggest thing in New England.
Oh, yeah.
And this was the thing that floored me.
Me, too. Because I had no idea it was there. Yeah, so when I went in, I'm like, what? That's why I've really been like plugging it here. Because I'm like, I want people, if people who were Twin Peaks fans knew we had this, they'd be flocking to see this thing and take a picture. It's they did a really good job. I want it in my house.
and it is incredible. I fell in love with it. And the day I went, that I saw it, I was dressed up as Dale Cooper and my FBI badge and all the stuff, and I had my Laura Palmer portrait, which I actually gave them a copy of because they didn't have a good resolution copy, and then this is my copy from 27 years back.
Oh, nice.
So when you see the Laura Palmer portrait, they got that for me, and I shot a video with Sadie, which was actually cool because she was dressed up as Diane, it's funny because I mentioned this to Dana when I interviewed him Monday. He had no idea what he's looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. We threw this out there. So, hey, if we set something up, would you guys want to do a photo op? I don't think this is actually the first time they've had any Twin Peaks people in this Red Room. So I'm hoping I'm hoping this will like boost it for him. Might be able to get more guests here for that. That's going to be good. And, you know, Dana also was one of the two stars of Return of the Living Dead Part 2. So he had the horror tie-in as well. So that works for us.
And as I said, not to plug myself, we got a big piece running on this with Dana and James, both interviewed, and which should look nice. And there's a line in the new episode, The Return, James has always been cool. And I don't know if that's true, but he certainly has been cool since he was 10. He told me a great story how he was hanging out with David Bowie at the set of Saturday Night Live during Bowie's infamous performance of Boys Keep Swinging in 79, which if you do a panel is worth bringing up.
What?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
His dad, personal good friends were mine and Sheen. And Sheen was the host.
Was the host. Oh, my gosh.
And I heard the story. He talked to me like 20 minutes. And the thing is, Dana got mine and Sheen gave him a script from the show afterwards.
Yeah.
He got everybody from the cast to sign except Lorraine Newman. So we're talking Belushi, Randa, everybody. And someone stole it. We could talk about that all day. And The always magnificent Malcolm McDonald, best known as Alec DeLodge, the tap dancing, derby wearing, ultra violence loving, Beethoven listening, demented leader of the Droogs in Stanley Kubrick's classic A Clockwork Orange, is going to be there, and he's always a thrill.
Yeah, and he's never quit working all this time. And the first time I met Malcolm, it's funny, the first time I met Malcolm here at Rocket Shock when I got him to come, we went to dinner, and his wife, because he's married to he's married to a much younger woman, was pregnant with twins, and he was like 62 at the time, and I'm like, wow, what's it going to be like to have kids at this age? Are you like, you're afraid you're going to be tired? He's like, oh no, we've got nannies for that sort of thing. So he's always going, always working, and he's always very popular with the fans.
Yeah, he's great. He's, I mean, besides that, I mean, not that Clockwork Orange is not enough. Time After Time.
Oh, great movie, Time After Time.
Cat People.
Yep.
And yeah. He is the man, I won't talk about Caligula, and the man. Caligula. And the man who killed Captain Kirk.
Yes, the man who killed Captain Kirk. And he was Donald Pleasant's role of Loomis in the remake of Halloween,
which
the Rob
Zombie
films.
That we should actually probably more promote because this is a horror thing.
But yeah.
And the incomparable Linda Blair.
Mm-hmm. First appearance at Rocket Shock, if you can believe that.
If I did the math, yeah. I mean, I remember when she was a regular at Spooky World.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons it took so long for us to get her is once she, because she was always booked at Spooky World.
Right.
And when Rockin' Shock started Spooky World, it kind of already moved to, you know, another part of the state.
Right.
And by then, because she was free again in October, she was doing all the other cons.
Yeah.
So it's taken us this long to actually get her here at Rockin' Shock.
And so of course, Linda Blair is best known as Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, and star of Bedtime for Beelzebub.
That's right, one of my favorite films, and The Power of Christ Compels You, and if you don't mind, I'll have some of that pea soup, please.
In actuality, we're talking The Exorcist, of course, which a few years ago, Kevin ranked as the scariest horror movie of all time.
I did. I still think, for the money. Yeah. The Exorcist is a hard one to beat. I mean, there's been a few movies that have made me more anxious and on edge as of late, but that's definitely one that you can still watch and be like, wow, that was a very ahead of its time.
I got to admit something, because 4 years ago we did a Halloween story, which you were gracious enough to participate in, and that's where that list came from.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think I was called out the fact that I didn't have The Exorcist on the list. And I got to admit, the reason why I didn't have it on the list is I've never been able to get through the movie. It's so terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
I almost said a bad word there. And the movie like is so terrifying.
It's like a slow burn, too. Yeah. It starts slow, but then that last, like, 45 minutes is, like, just nonstop scary.
Yeah, and the movie is epitome of great cinema from the 70s.
Yeah.
I think if it was made in any other era, it would not have been
good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is edgy. It has that slow burn. But when it burns, oh, it burns deep. And we also have Ted Raimi, Sam's Raimi's brother, and who also had a hilarious turn as Chet in Ash versus Evil Dead opposite our fave, Bruce Campbell, which
absolutely.
Unfortunately we haven't got yet, but we will one of these days.
Yes. Stay tuned.
And real quick, coolest rock and roll, rock and shock moment, in my opinion, for me.
Yeah.
Was when you had Dana DeLonzo and Ray Santiago, a.k.a. Kelly and Pablo, from Ash vs. Evil Dead, doing a screening of three episodes, including one that wasn't there, and you lead in a very colorful Q&A session.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a shame that the show wasn't renewed, because they had actually, after that, Starz was going to have an even bigger event with that show this year, and we were going to show an episode in 3D.
I remember you were talking
about
what a shame.
And we were hoping, you know, and Bruce was supposedly, they were going to say, oh, we'll send Bruce here, he'll enter the show, it'll be great, and blah, blah, but then the show wasn't renewed, and we kind of lost our opportunity to that. But, you know, Bruce is still in the works, and he'll, now that he's free, a little bit more.
Yeah, a little more.
We'll work that out, but, yeah. And, we, you know, we have some people coming that haven't been in a long time. Scott Reniger and Galen Ross from Dawn of the Dead, which is also one of my favorites of all time.
Which you ranked number two.
Oh, yeah. They're both coming, and they haven't been a long time. They were at our very first Rockin' Shock. They were, like, two of the people I had on the list that we have to have these people. And I had a whole list, and they were two of the ones that came right away. And, you know,
and this is the 40th anniversary of Dawn of the Dead.
Wow.
Is that amazing? And you guys always had George A. Romero, the granddaddy of zombie flicks. And thank you for that, because that was always a thrill to see him and hear him talk.
Yeah.
And, this is a big thing. Dawn of the Dead, if you guys never seen the original one and you have the stomach for it, it is a great movie. It's actually, I remember the first time I ever saw at the movies with Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert when it was on PBS.
Yeah.
This is showing how long ago it was. The first movie I saw them review was Dawn of the Dead.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, and they both gave it a great review.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, this is before the internet and all this other garbage out there.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would have heard of the movie if it wasn't for something like a PBS show reviewing it.
And probably one of the few horror movies they ever actually both liked.
Yeah, and the fact that it's like, wow, this movie got a good review. And these scenes look pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that's great you have that. And
you know Bill Moseley, who's a return guest?
That's the next one, Bill Moseley.
Got the sequel to Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, coming out that he just wrapped on recently. He's going to be back. He'll talk about that.
Three from Hell.
Yep. Three from Hell. And
which looks like it's going to live up to its name.
I haven't seen anything from it
yet. I've seen a few clips. Yeah. I actually, how are you doing?
Oh. I've got some, I got to head out in a couple minutes.
I won't tell you my zombie story. Not before another day. I saw a few clips of it, and it looks pretty intense, like all of zombies work, whether you like it or not.
Right. I highly recommend, if you're in this weekend, and I can give some details. Yeah. It's this Friday through Sunday, DCU Center in the Palladium. You can get tickets at FYE.com. The Palladium box office, DCU Center box office. You can get it for the whole weekend, just the convention, go to concerts, everything. All the concerts all weekend at the Palladium. And then I highly recommend, if you can make it, go to Malcolm McDowell's Q&A, because he has so many good stories of all the people he's worked with over the years that I'm sure there's a lot of things you'd want to hear if you're a big movie fan.
And real quick, a few more guests I want to mention, and then we'll wrap this up. If you're fans of Lost, J.J. Abrams' masterpiece fell apart near the end.
Yes.
Jeremy Davis and
Andrew Devoff, both, you know, I'm a huge, Lost is one of my favorite shows of all time.
It was an incredible show.
Having these two at the same time, especially Jeremy Davies, who's a great actor. Yeah. I mean, he was also on Twin Peaks, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. The Return. He was in one episode of that show, if you go back and look at it.
I got to double check that. I did not know that.
And if you've never seen his version of Manson in Helter Skelter, he's very good.
Yeah.
But yes, Andrew Devoff, who was Mikhail, the eye patch Russian Dharma Initiative character, and Jeremy was Daniel Faraday. They're both going to be there. So that's a big thrill. Yeah.
And another Rock and Shark regular, William Forsythe, who I think should be a bigger star than he is. I mean, I remember the first time I saw him in Dick Tracy as the character escapes me for some reason.
I remember he was in it, but it was Flat Top.
Flat Top. and I know you're a busy guy because everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants you. They want to clone you, do horrific experiments to you. Anything else you want to tell about the Rock and Shark or the bands that are playing?
Well, we have Amorphous, Trivium, you know, Twisted, which is like one of the Insane Clown Posse circle. You know, they're going to be there one of the nights this weekend. There's a long list of groups playing. You know, some years those are like huge acts that everybody goes back and forth. I mean, if you remember, we had Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie one year.
Absolutely.
We could only be as lucky to get those kind of acts every year.
Yeah.
But you know, there's rules. you can go to Palladium. All those shows always sell out, do very well. We love having the fans come back and forth. So
www.rockandshock.com.
That is correct. Rockandshock.com. We're also on Facebook. And again, tickets at the DCU Center,
and
Palladium.
It should be a massive story running Friday, maybe online Thursday in the Telegram and Gazette. And I think, Kevin, it's always a thrill.
Oh, yeah, Craig, you too. I always see you around. It's good to sit and talk
to
you.
And it's funny. It's such a thrill that I just shook his hand even though no one's seen it. So.
You have been listening to Worcester Culture Watch. For more on Worcester Arts and Entertainment, come back in the near future. We'll have more of these. For more on Rock and Shock, please read Craig S. Seaman's story in Friday's Worcester Telegram Gazette and on telegram.com. As always, our music is...